All right, man. So I'm glad to have you with me today. And I'm excited to hear all about this bear that you know so much about. So why don't you
Excited to
introduce
share.
yourself?
My name's Hunter Knickerbocker. I wanted to share the Andean bear, also known as the spectacle bear. Its scientific name, Chimarctos ornatus. We haven't seen any of the closest relatives to this bear in 10,000 years. The last living relative of the Andean bear is the Florida spectacle bear, which looks similar, but a little different. We haven't seen any other giant short-faced bears in more than 12,000 years. So they're one of a kind at this point.
Wow. And at this point, how do they compare in size to other bears? You said they're kind of rare.
Yeah, so they're a medium-sized bear, which like a black bear would fall into that category of a medium-sized bear. So like,
Okay.
Bigger than like a German Shepherd, but obviously smaller than a grizzly bear, you know.
So can you describe these bears' appearance to me?
Yeah, so they're kind of like a cinnamon bear color. They're a light like a brown sugar dark color, but that's not limiting. They can be very dark in color and have all kinds of different patches of different colored fur, yellows, oranges, browns in that range. Defining characteristic of this bear's appearance is dark brown circles around their eyes. It's thought that these circles are individual to the bear, so they can be used these facial patches and can be used to identify individual bears. As far as their size, males can weigh anywhere to 220 to 440 pounds, while females are like much smaller, weighing around 77 to 181 pounds. They live for about 20 years, so there's a pretty good area where they can be growing. But it's hard to know how long these bears can actually live. Some have lived much longer in captivity. In the wild, they may live to be much younger. So,
Interesting. Okay. And how many of these bears are in the wild currently?
so at this point, it's estimated that there are between 6,000 and 10,000 of these bears left.
Okay.
Given their range, that's really not that much. And considering that in 1996, we had almost 20,000 of these bears on the
Wow.
landscape. So since then, we've lost half of their population.
And what do you think is the cause of that?
So one main cause is deforestation. Another cause is poaching or just general killing of these animals by whether they be farmers or people who don't want them in their area.
Okay. And
So
so you said that they live in South America, but about where do they locate themselves in South America?
yeah, so they tend to locate an area that's actually pretty big. So just off the coast of Colombia, you can find them in Ecuador, Peru, and the interior parts of Bolivia and northern Argentina. So,
Okay.
pretty good area.
And their numbers are pretty spread out between all of those, pretty evenly, I'd assume.
Yeah, they don't necessarily congregate in, like, say, you're going to find more in Bolivia. As far as my research can show, they seem to spread out pretty well. They're pretty solitary animals, so.
Gotcha. And so what's their kind of lifestyle? How do they like to go about their lives? What are their characteristics like that?
Yeah, so these bears are actually really cool in that they are highly arboreal. So they like to spend a lot of their lives in trees. They actually build little platforms out of like different sticks and vines and other limbs. They spend a good portion of their lives in these trees, not solely, but this is where they like to sleep. They build these up higher so they stay away from predators. They really don't have a lot of predators, this is one thought that for the reasoning of them building these. Another reason is they like to build them up higher to access the fruits that other animals can't access. So yeah, they're pretty crafty little bears.
So safe polar bears, are they the only real bears that manipulate their environments like that, where they for habitat reasons?
No, there's other bears that are relatively arboreal, and there's a lot of bears that will, you know, dig out dens. But they're the only bear species to build these platforms, which is pretty cool.
Interesting. Very interesting. And see, I know you mentioned they eat fruit. Are they mostly herbivores or?
So they're omnivorous, like a lot of bears, but meat makes up less than 5% of their diet. They eat a lot of insects, nuts, berries, and other greenery or foliage. This is confirmed by their dentition. They have selenodont cheek teeth and small front incisors. So this kind of points to them being less carnivorous and more omnivorous.
And so besides the platforms, obviously, how else do they differ from your average, say, a black bear?
Yeah, so so these bears are super interesting in one aspect, and that aspect is that they don't hibernate. Many other bear species hibernate because of environmental conditions and to conserve energy, especially like, you know, in winter, where it's harder for an animal that relies mostly on scavenging. So these bears don't need to hibernate because they live in the jungle where it doesn't get cold. Food sources are, you know, mostly readily available. And yeah, so that's an interesting thing, because most other bears, their DNA has hibernation written into it. They're able to slow down their metabolism. They are able to deal with urea, other issues that might rise with them being living a more sedentary life while hibernating. So yeah, that's a really cool thing that these bears don't do in comparison to other bears.
Interesting. And so since they're kind of a year-round species, how does that affect like their mating season? What does that look like in terms of other bears and whatnot?
Yeah, so their mating season, there really isn't a season. It can happen at any time because there's no hibernation. But peak mating season is generally during the spring and into early summer. This is just because this is when the food is best and most abundant.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So another interesting thing about these bears and their mating season is that if the conditions aren't right, these bears can undergo embryonic diapause, which basically means they can just pause their gestation. This happens pretty regularly. It seems like if the fruit seasons, aren't aligning well with when the pregnancy happened or the fertilization. And it just allows for there to be a good sustainable amount of food and resources to support the pregnancy. So yeah, that's another cool thing.
And so since they're pretty solitary, how do they communicate? Do they have like a way that they, like a mating call or anything like that, or any way that they communicate specifically?
Kind of. So these bears are very solitary, but the only exception to this is when a mother is with her cubs. These bears will typically spend 2 to 3 years with the mother before they are, either chased off by adult bears or just leave. But as far as actual communication within the species and with other animals, we don't know too much about their communication. We've seen in captivity that these bears use vocalizations, but only less than 10 vocalizations have been recorded. When a mother's with young, it seems like it's between 2 and 5 different communications that are specific to her cubs that you don't see elsewhere. But other than that, these bears are just so elusive. We just don't know that much about them.
So do you ever see these bears interacting with other bears?
The only time that these bears will ever really hang out together, it seems like, is the male will stick around for 1 to 2 weeks to protect the female after a pregnancy. And then after that, he kind of bolts. These bears will sometimes be seen with other bears in areas where food concentrations are high, but they don't typically like run around in packs or hang out together too much. They tend to just avoid other bears and other animals for that matter.
Very interesting. So how are humans impacting these bears, and what sort of things are they, what kind of issues are they causing?
Yeah. So like I said at the beginning, humans are really messing with their habitats, with deforestation becoming increasingly common in South America and other areas for that matter. But we're really taking away a lot of their habitat, their resources. The areas that they could go to, they can't move fast enough to be displaced at the rate that they're being displaced. There's a lot of poaching that happens with farmers thinking that these bears are killing their cattle. These bears aren't hunters like that. Most of the cattle kills come from different felines. And so these bears just get wrongly killed. Another real big issue is these bears have these bears' body parts have places on the black market. They're thought to be used, they're used for a lot of different traditional medicines and Chinese medicines, and are often just killed for their gallbladders and claws. They don't use the meat or anything. It's just these couple of things. Yeah, nothing. It's wow. It's pretty sad. There's even a drink in Peru called the Seven Roots, and apparently it contains white rum, 7 types of tree bark, honey, pollen, a snake's head, the Huanarapo macho plant, and a baculum of an Andean bear. And it's supposed to have healing properties, and a lot of healers really believe in this drink. And this just seems like something that's kind of left over from the old world. You can't necessarily judge them for it if that's the way that they live their lives. But that's a problem when these bears are being killed for their baculums. There's a really interesting read, an article that Nat Geo put out by a guy named Eduardo Franco Berton. And he just traveled through Peru and met shamans and different people that were trading Andean bear parts on the black market, like just openly. It's a really interesting read, and it just goes to show that there's like, there's no like it's part of their life in South America, and there's no thought towards conserving these animals or protecting them or the future of them, because
go ahead. I was going to ask you if the trade stays within South America, or does that get exported around the world?
A lot in South America because of like the thoughts in traditional medicine down there. But no, the parts totally get shipped off to other places in the country where they're thought to have healing properties. China receives a lot of these bears' parts, like the gallbladders and claws. It doesn't stay just in South America.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so is anybody doing anything to protect these bears at all?
Yeah. These are a tough bear to protect because there's just a general lack of knowledge. We don't know much about them. We don't know what they need really. So there's not a great starting place. But yeah, there's a few different people. The Wildlife Conservation Society has teamed up with a group in Colombia, and they're working to develop a national monitoring program for the Andean bear. The program works to monitor the population in protected areas to help ensure good care and the health of the population, and just to gather some more knowledge of these guys. They're such a cool bear, and it would suck to lose another species. Another group is the Spectacle Bear Conservation of Peru. They're doing similar work. Yeah, they're just trying to find out more of these bears so that we can protect them and find out areas that we can make a change.
And so is there anything that we can do to protect these bears?
Yeah, so not necessarily like hands-on, but all these groups take donations and are looking for more funding. More funding means more opportunities, more equipment, better monitoring. It really comes down to money and people. So
nice. Well, Hunter, it was awesome to have you on, and I think I learned a ton about this bear, and I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge with me.
Well, thanks for having me on. I love sharing. So thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Hunter.